This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. Fall back down.
Joel Embiid returned last night to play a surprising 29 minutes, scored 24 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, as the Sixers held off the Thunder 109-105. Keyshawn, how did Embiid look to you?
He looked good, to be honest with you, but I could tell he's working his way back into shape. He's rounding himself into that. But the great thing about it, though, is he wasn't afraid to get down low. He wasn't afraid to bang. He wasn't afraid to mix it up. I mean, he looked fine, but you could tell on the defensive side of the thing, he was still kind of rusty, not sure about some stuff.
Yep.
Offensively, he looked like a guy that missed 2 months. He still had 20. Look, he was 12 for 12 from free throw, right? He hit every last free throw. As you say, free throw. He got all those points. He was 6 of 14 from the field.
Yep.
He had 7 assists, 6 boards. He looked good. I mean, he looked like, but you could tell there's something that's there. The engine is trying to get cranked up. It's not at full tilt. It's like one of those old Mustangs probably used to have back in the Oklahoma days.
In fact, my first car was a Mustang.
You got to turn it on. It's one of those deals.
Eventually,
yeah, his engine is going to get going. Now, the big question is, where does that leave the Philadelphia 76ers in the grand scheme of things? They sit in the 8th spot as of right now, which is the play-in. They're a game and a half, I think, out of the 6th spot.
Mm-hmm.
Can they catch the Pacers? Can they catch them? That's the question. Is he going to be able to finish the deal at the end of the season to the point where they catch and get into that 6th spot? Now, the longer that they play, and if they can avoid Boston early, somehow avoid them based on how it all shakes out, then it may be Boston and Philadelphia in the end because of the way Milwaukee is showing up.
Agreed.
And playing right now. Although the Milwaukee situation without Dame last night made you scratch your head against the Wizards, and we'll obviously talk about that later on. But
we will.
I walked away yesterday when we started talking about Embiid and what the Sixers could be, thinking, okay, I don't know that they can, but then watching him play last night, even without Tyrese Maxey in the lineup,
that is correct.
And Maxey plays a lot better when Embiid is in the lineup, that, we may be talking about a Celtic Sixer Eastern Conference final, depending on how the Sixers finish up.
Okay. But if it's the first round, I'm on the edge of my seat.
But you want to. The longer that they extend their playoff run, the more dangerous they can become because of him as he rounds into shape.
Although in the past, the farther they go, the worse it gets.
Well, I mean, that's the past, though. Yeah. It ain't the same coaches. It ain't the same players. It's a couple of the same players. But it's a different team, different year. I just think the longer they go with him to round into shape, the better chances they'll have.
Okay. Allow me to say up front, I was extremely skeptical about what I thought I would see from Joel Embiid as he came back. It was 8 weeks to the day after he had a scope surgery on a torn meniscus on his knee. Not a major surgery, but a surgery nonetheless. And the point about Joel is he's never been dedicated to taking the utmost care of himself. There's no LeBron going on. And he looked maybe a touch heavy last night, but not like I thought he might look.
His trunk and leg, it looked kind of heavy.
Looked a little heavy. and his face looked a little heavier. But whatever. The point was, Keyshawn, this man, this is the most gifted 7 foot plus player we've ever seen. On just pure offensive gifts, I've never seen anything like this before. And they were on full display last night. And yeah, he huffed and he puffed and he got gassed a couple times. But
those basketball courts are really large.
They're long and hard.
Long.
It's called the hardwood. And you're running up and down on the hardwood when you're not a big cardio guy to start with. It's not like he was in the swimming pool or on the exercise bike going into last night. He tried to play his way in shape through some practices, and there was a bit, it was shocking because it was only 2 hours before the game that they suddenly announced he was good to go.
Still gave him 30 minutes.
Yeah, but the NBA is not going to love this because they'll have to look into this because you got all the gambling situation with you got to declare. You got to early, you know, what in or out. And he was supposed to be out until 2 hours before the game, and all of a sudden they said, well, he's now questionable. Oh, you went from completely out to questionable, and it was clear he was just ready to go. I think they wanted him to show up to the arena and say, I'm good.
Well, he didn't show up.
Yeah.
He didn't go to shoot around.
Yeah, but I mean before the game, two hours before the game. And when he did, he said, I'm ready to go, and was he ever. I am blown away by how well he played last night under the circumstances. Because, Keyshawn, if you told me he played 15 minutes, I'd say, that's pretty good. He played almost twice that. Yeah, it's close to 30 minutes. And not only that, now, again, let's be real about this. Let's put it in perspective. Oklahoma City is playing without their two best scorers. There's no SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and there's no Jalen Williams. So you're down your 1-2 punch on offense. And still,
well, Jalen actually played.
No, that's the other one. You got the wrong one. It's there are two of them, and the other one started in place of
it's
the better
Jalen
one.
Williams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got two, but the better one did not play. The one from Santa Clara out here.
Okay.
So the point is that they had a shot to win, but then to your point, they didn't even have Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
So I'm still a little skeptical because his chemistry with Joel can be good, but it's going to be different. And Paul Pierce kept making the point. It's so late in the year. They've been playing a certain way, and now they got to play Joel's way. And he is high usage, man. You got to run the whole offense through him. But it clicked last night, and it clicked in the fourth quarter last night. And by the way, I said the other day, I love Kelly Oubre. I just like to watch him play because
He played well last night.
You know what?
Well.
He's what I call a near star. He may not be. You can't qualify him as a star, but he's got some star quality. He's sort of like D'Angelo Russell, where you say he's got all-star skills to him, but he's not an all-star, right? And in the fourth quarter, he makes all four of his three-point shots. Well, you needed all those. But then to your point, in the fourth quarter, Joel only made one of four shots, but he took the game over at the free throw line. He goes 8 for 8 at the free throw line. He's the greatest 7 foot or above free throw shooter we have ever seen, and it ain't even close.
Yeah, I really don't see him miss much.
He's a 90% free throw shooter. Are you kidding me? And before he got hurt this year, he was on pace to score more points than minutes played, and no one's ever done that except, it's another one of those records, Wilt Chamberlain. It's another Wilt record, and he's got Wilt in him. That's how much he can dominate a game. So he steps on the floor out of shape by his standards. A lot of people think he's always out of shape. And it's he's got that basketball gene in him where he just figures out how to get up and down the floor and play basketball.
He does. And I think rounding him into shape and when you get Maxey back, this is a different team. It's a different team. You just want to try to extend the season as long as possible to get him there.
You do.
You know?
But now you've still got, what they got left? Eight games or whatever?
About eight games. Okay. This schedule is, they should, if they're any good, they should come out way ahead on this last remaining games.
Okay. So I like their pieces. I actually, if you give me Oubre and obviously with Maxey back and Tobias, and they added Kyle Lowry, and now they got Campaign. He was in the starting lineup last night. They added Buddy Hield. They got Nicholas Batum in the trade for Harden. They still got Robert Covington to play defense. I don't know. This team is intriguing to me. And with Joel, all of a sudden the intrigue level in the Eastern Conference playoffs shoots way back up. Because I said yesterday it felt like it's kind of Boston or bust, and I don't trust Milwaukee, and we're going to talk about them, as you say. and they keep losing on the road. And I'm not sure about Dame's ability to sort of unite with Giannis down the stretch in the big moments. But the point is, all of a sudden, this team looks like it could measure up to the Celtics. If he's going to get back in sync, yeah, and in stride.
To get to the Celtics, let's just assume.
Well, what if it happened immediately? What if it happened?
Oh, then they're going to lose.
Well,
I don't. He ain't going to be in shape.
Yeah.
You're not going to be in shape.
Well, at least you got 8 games to go. And he said he's going to keep. They got 1 back-to-back, and he said he might miss the second game.
But they're going to play 8 games over the next 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah, but I could make the case back to you. If his skill level is all in shape, which it is, he didn't lose any of that last night. I can make a case to you that he'll be more rested for the postseason than he's been in a long time. And that's a big plus for them.
It's still a short amount of time, Skip. You've been gone for 2 months.
And they do have a lot of new players, but I just like the feel of what I saw.
No, I do too. If they can get him in shape and get him going.
Yeah.
And they could somehow avoid Boston early, then I think that they...
Well, to your point, if they just keep on keeping on, if they could win out, they might just catch the Pacers and get out of the, you know, get out of harm's way early on. They could maybe do it differently. They could take that path that you'd want them to take to the conference finals.
Yeah, but the thing is, even if they had to play in the play-in, where they're sitting at now, what they're going to get, they'll get 1 game to get in, not 2.
Yep.
But that still gives them a little bit of rest, and then eventually you get into that 7-game series, and you try to extend that.
They're an 8 now, right?
Yeah.
So they would get, they'd 1. Be in the 2-game slot, right, as opposed to 9-10?
1 game, right?
Well, but it's 7-8 get to play. You get 2 shots, right?
Yeah, but I'm assuming they beat the Heat is what I'm assuming.
Okay. All right.
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm assuming they can beat the Heat.
Okay.
And they get the 1 game, so he gets a little bit of rest. And then you extend that 7-game series with whoever you play. Let's say they, you know, you take that thing to 6 games to round him into shape.
Yeah.
There's got to be a plan here. It can't be just get into the playoffs and then draw this Boston team or
– yeah.
Or draw a Cavs team and then all of a sudden you're gone.
Yeah.
You want to try to find the weakest opponent that will extend your 7-game series as much as you can.
Yeah. The key for him is he despises playing in that brace that he had to wear last night. And if he
did
could
he have
get...
A, I didn't,
he had a brace, yeah.
Did he?
He's fighting
I couldn't,
with it.
I couldn't see
and
it.
So if he could get through 8 games and get to the point where he didn't need the brace, even psychologically need it, then he should be good to go. And I'm going to say this again. I only speak from experience because I've had 3 of these scopes. Did you ever any scopes?
Uh-huh, I had 2 okay. of them.
2 on knees? Not huge deals. Not,
yeah, they weren't I don't. Me. I can't question how. What, I was back fast. That's all
back
I can
fast.
Say. No. Yeah, it was different, though. It's different, I guess. I mean,
and you
I'm
had
not,
torn meniscus,
I'm not
right?
Yeah, I'm not 300-plus pounds,
no.
6'9", and
okay,
all that
but the
other
point
stuff.
Is, we're not talking about torn ligaments. If
no.
you tear your rupture a ligament, now we got a whole different conversation going on because you ain't coming back for no playoffs.
Different sport, different mentality.
Yeah.
You know, I had one in the offseason. I had one during the season where I only missed 1 game a week, and I was back the next week.
That's what should happen because that's how good they are with that scope. And obviously, you don't have to go in there with an incision. You can just stick the
little
tiny camera in
right there and
go in. You get like 3 dots, and they can go in and snip it. It's
but everybody
just a little...
else, I mean, everybody's bodies are different.
Yeah.
They heal differently.
Yeah.
You train differently
to
get back in your rehab.
Yeah.
You know, it's different.
Okay, so we're just talking for him about the meniscus, which is the cartilage, which is the cushion in your knee that keeps the bones from touching each other.
And that's a problem, too, because the more surgery he had, I don't know which knee it was, but or if he had surgery on those knees before.
He has.
But in a minute, as they continue to carve that thing out, it's going to hit bone at some point.
Yeah.
And then that's when,
I don't know how much
that's when the
left.
Swelling really kicks in. You got to keep getting it drained.
Because when it tears, it just has a little flap that'll get caught in your mechanism and it'll just kill you.
Yeah.
You just can't even, you scream.
Yeah, you walk and it's stuck.
And it sticks. But now if you go in there and just snip off the little torn flap, which just happened, then he's good to go. And I know my man Wayne and I went back and forth, little Wayne, about Joel, can he come back? And I said, I think he can. But then it's a matter of in what condition?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's like he was born in basketball shape. That's what he looked like last night, because that was, listen, that was impressive. That was a high level battle to the bitter end in a breakneck NBA game. And he took it to the end. And by the way, we got to take one quick look for those who didn't see it. How about the steal he pulls off on Josh Giddey at the end of the game? And this is still a two-point game at this point.
He's so long, though.
Yeah, and he just snakes it right out of his hand, and he's off to the races. And then Chet has no—
He looks so big running down the court.
Oklahoma City actually challenged this and lost the challenge on it because they thought Chet was set, and I don't think he was set. Joel just ran him over. But that's what Joel does. He just punishes
people. He was pounding in the guys last night, which psychologically it helps him, you know, it helps him because now he's down there and that's what it's all about. When you get injuries, it's all mental at that point. Now you got to just figure out, can you fight through things mentally and not be afraid that I'm going to re-injure something?
So not only did he finish the last 8 minutes of the game, but his two free throws put them up one, and then his next two free throws off the steal, that clinched it. So he makes four straight free throws.
And the catch and shoot, the one shot that he did make in the fourth quarter, he caught it, boom, little putback bunny right there, the top of the key.
Listen, we keep talking on here, if LeBron could somehow pull off this championship, that would cinch it. He's the GOAT. Well,
one person said that, Skip.
I think somebody echoed that.
That's a conversation that's going to come up.
You loved it. I'm going to put Joel in this conversation because he won an MVP last year. It looked like he was on his way to going back-to-back MVPs this year before he got hurt. And my point about Joel Embiid is, once again, he needs a championship to justify all this, to validate how his greatness.
Everybody needs
a championship. Sure they do, but this could be interesting. No, but this could be a LeBron-esque run to a championship. You know, like, what if they get hot? They got the pieces to go win it.
I never said that, Skip, that they didn't. Yeah. But everybody needs a championship. Yeah. It'd be great to validate.
Well, you got one.
Well, I'm fine.
For a great ride.
It did well. No? Okay. I ain't worried about it.
All right.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Lakers easily took care of business last night in Toronto on the first night of a back-to-back. Tonight they're at Washington, where they're favored by 13. LeBron, coming off making 9 of 10 threes at Brooklyn, took no threes in the first half last night and just one in the second half, and he made it to keep his career-high shooting percentage from 3 at 42%. Never thought I would see the day. Meanwhile, D'Angelo Russell last night made 7 of 14 attempts, 7 of 14. Keyshawn, your reaction to your team's three-point shooting binge?
Well, I start off by talking about the last 15 games that they've been shooting threes. They had a 41% clip over the last 15 games.
Ooh.
That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty great.
Pretty good. And you talk about just last night, for the game, they shot 44% for the game. But it really was about the first half in shooting the threes where they shot 47%. So when you start to look at it, you start to say, okay, they shot the ball well. 50% from D'Lo, you know, that was pretty good. And then, you know, the guys off the bench, Dinwiddie and company, they chipped in. But the game was, once upon a time, the Lakers was up by 33, I think it was.
Yep.
It was one of those deals, Skip, where you just
turned.
They
were up by 33.
Yeah, you just, it's like, it ain't really saying much. But outside the threes, the fact that LeBron was efficient, 10 of 12. Okay, he was 10 of 12. You look at that, he had 9 assists. He scored a total of 23 points in the second half. He only shot the 1-3, which he drained. We talked about yesterday, what we were taking bets on what he would shoot coming off that 9 for 10 game.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, he'd probably be 3 of 7.
You did.
Well, he didn't even get the 7. He just shot 1 of 1. because he really didn't need to based on the way everybody else was cooking. His minutes was down, okay, and he was efficient. So everybody else kind of got involved and chimed in. Now, my one pet peeve of all this is I need Austin Reaves to start playing. I get it. He hadn't played well since the Bucks game, I don't know, 5 games or 6 games ago. But I need him to start. Come on, man. You got to start being a little more consistent, a little more consistent, and then I think we'll be okay.
He will.
No, I'm just saying.
And you will.
Needs to.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right. The first thing, my biggest takeaway from last night was the Lakers went in there and did exactly what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That team has now lost 14 in a row. It's just waiting till next year. Scotty Barnes is out. It's just like they got big issues going on. Drake doesn't even go to the games anymore. So the point is that I loved it because this is the kind of game they blew earlier this year. Pre-All-Star break, this is the kind of game it just sit there right on that schedule and you'd say, no, you don't got that one. They got you. And you went in there and you stepped on them. And it was reasonably close at half. And then in the third quarter, you stepped on them. And LeBron said, well, maybe I need to try 1-3 in the third quarter because it's probably time for me to try one because we need the one right now. It's about 5 minutes left in the third. And he just rips it from the corner. And all of a sudden, the floodgates open and it goes to 33, as you talked about. Mm-hmm. The other thing with LeBron that I love last night, in his past, he has struggled from three where he'll have one hot night and then he falls back in love with it and feels compelled to live up to the 9 of 10 or whatever the previous night was. And he'll go 2 of 10. And I said yesterday, well, the history would tell you he's going to go 2 of 10 tonight because he'll try it and try it and then he'll lose the hot hand. Well, no, he said, you know what? This is Toronto. I don't even need to waste my threes on Toronto. And by the way, D'Lo, who set the record already this year for the most made threes in a season, and you always say, well, we've never shot threes before, but he is a deadeye. I don't care what you say. He's got that quick stroke and it's feet on the floor. He's not a jump shooter, but you want to talk about catch and shoot in a split. It's just gone.
He can do that against Toronto.
Okay, but you don't trust
him. I love the fact that he had 44 against Milwaukee.
Yep.
April 6th on a Saturday, we played Cleveland at home. I don't care about the Washington game. I care about the Cleveland game because I think we get out of Washington with a W again.
Okay.
Even though they just popped Milwaukee without Dame Lillard.
Without Dame.
April 6th, we got Cleveland.
Okay.
And I need D'Lo to do the same thing against Donovan Mitchell and company that he just did against that whole team in Cleveland that's sitting in the third spot.
Yeah.
I need him to do that.
Well,
I need him doing it against the Raptors.
I know, but I need him doing it whenever the play-in starts because I'm
that
pretty
too.
Sure. Yeah.
That too.
Yeah. Okay, so last night LeBron was incredibly efficient because since All-Star break, Keyshawn, he's been historically efficient since the All-Star break. Every night he's up around 60% from the floor and now he's at 42% from three. And your team, weirdly, for much of the year, it has been at the bottom of the barrel on three-point attempts. It's been the last place team on attempting threes until just lately because it's starting to make more and it's starting to shoot more. Denver, now the defending champs, have attempted the fewest threes in the league. It's now Denver. Boston is at the top by far the most and obviously by far the most makes because they're trying so many. But what I do love about your team, you're now up to 7th in the league in percentage of making threes. Mm-hmm. And to your point, since the All-Star break, there's nobody better at making threes. Well, I like it that they're kind of they've come up to kind of middle of the pack in three-point attempts, and they make a bunch of them. That bodes well, but can you take that into the postseason? Do you trust it?
I do trust it because who's shooting them? That's why I say I need Austin Reaves to get going.
Yep.
I don't need LeBron to shoot 12 threes.
No.
I just need him to be efficient like he was last night.
Yep.
Okay? He could have been even more efficient if he wasn't 2 from 5 from free throw. Percent.
That's true.
Like, come on, get knocked down 5 from 5 and get yourself some more points.
You know how I feel about that.
I know, but I don't understand how you can shoot 42% from three.
I don't either.
It got better at that, but
thank you.
It don't seem like you now, can get better at that. I know, I don't know what the difference is.
But if I say that to you, you say, oh, you're nitpicking him. Now, you just nitpicked him.
No, I'm not nitpicking. Yeah. I'm not, I just said I want him to get better.
I am baffled by that, but I've been.
But you nitpick as a complaining and comparing to Jordan and all.
No.
I'm saying I just need him to hit those.
Okay, but
so we can cash in on those points.
I know, but this is what this isn't a nitpick. This is
no, it actually isn't a nitpick. It's it's a criticism of yours.
I'm not picking nits. I'm picking boulders here because you're trying to make the case that he's the GOAT. And I've been doing this for 15. How long has he played? 20. I've been doing it for 20 years. I've been asking. If you go in the lab in the off season and you get better, he's always saying, I'm in the improvement mode. Okay, I got it. And yet from three, somebody maybe has helped him.
Maybe that's just his, you know, kryptonite is the free throw. Okay. Maybe that's the case.
So one shot is from 24, 25 feet, and the other one's from 15 feet.
Maybe he's more comfortable shooting from distance.
I don't know.
Maybe that's it. Maybe when he gets to the free throw line, he sees three and he aims
the far left one. You know? I don't know. But there's rhythm to his three-point shot, and it's starting to look better. There are times in the past where it just gets awkward looking. But he's in rhythm, and it has flow to it. But obviously, you can create rhythm because you're either going to catch and shoot it or you're going to dribble, step back and shoot it on some kind of tempo. You know, it's gonna have a feel to it. The other one, you have to create your own tempo because you're standing by yourself, there's nobody guarding you, and you got some time to dribble.
Once they hand him the ball to shoot it, maybe he just shoots it. I don't know.
He's tried 1,000 different techniques at it, different, you know, strategies, how he goes at it. And I like the current one because it's just one hard dribble and he let it fly. But he's still... He just hovers around that 74% mark. And by his standards, it's no good. It's no good. And what has always gotten me about him is if he had been Jordan-esque, which is 84%, do you know how many more points he would have scored? How soon? He would have gotten to Jordan and passed Jordan and passed everybody else, passed Kareem, much earlier because they're called free throws because they're for free.
Oh, I have no idea why I just...
You brought it up.
Brought that up for you.
But it's okay for you to bring it up, but it's not okay for me to bring it up.
All I said is I would have liked for him to be 5 for 5 opposed to 2 for 5. Yeah. That's it.
I think I have educated you, and you're finally not. Seeing the light about the phony GOAT, right?
Jeez.
You can't be the GOAT when you shoot 74% from the free throw line. You just can't.
It's different.
Come on.
It's different GOAT. Goats everywhere in the barn, man.
different goats.
Different goats.
I mean, I'll give you barnyard goat if you want that, but not greatest of all time goat.
It depends on who you're asking.
Really?
Depends on who you're asking. Okay. Some would agree with you, some would disagree.
You're starting to feel better about your Lakers.
Well, I've always felt good, but yes, I'm feeling better. And as I said before, I'm not sure we can't catch the six. The Mavericks what are the Mavericks right now, sitting at six? I think they're sitting in the sixth spot.
Yeah, they lost at Golden State. We're going to talk about it in just a minute.
I don't feel bad. I mean, I don't feel like we can't leapfrog those teams in front of us. Our schedule gets a little bit tough in the back end because we got Cleveland, Minnesota, Golden State, Memphis, and then New Orleans. What are these teams playing for in the next six games? What are they? Are they holding on?
It's all going to be different. Everybody have a different story.
You know, like, what is it? Like, Cleveland is going to sit where they're going to sit. It doesn't really matter to them. That's like, whatever. They may just want to play against LeBron and play well, whatever.
They might.
Or they may do something different. Minnesota, do they want to try to – they're not going to catch – well, they might catch OKC or whatever, but they're still in a prime position. Denver, Minnesota, you know, they're all kind of right there. Golden State, they're trying to hold off – Houston.
I know, but all of a sudden, Golden State's starting to breathe down your neck. They're only a game and a half back of you.
But we're winning. So
are they. They've won five.
If we could keep winning based on our schedule and the teams that I'm looking at, we're going to beat Washington. Cleveland, I don't know what – I mean, I would assume at home we beat them. I don't know what Minnesota's coming in with. They, you know, you mentioned the fact that Ant-Man hasn't been – playing well of late, shooting the ball well of late, and there's no Cat, so I'm
although they had
up.
A big win last night over Houston, and it went Houston, to the wire. But it went
I would
to the
pick
wire.
Minnesota over Houston any day anyway. I just would. Right. And then you got Golden State that we, you know, we exchange a little back and forwards with them. Then we get Memphis, and where's New Orleans on April 14th? Is New Orleans playing for anything, or are they just going to pack it in because they already in it?
There's no B.I. at the moment.
So. And there's no B.I. at the moment. Mm-hmm. So these next six games for us are all winnable games.
Could be.
You know? And so if you win in those games and those teams up in front of you, you sort of plucking them off slowly but surely, or they're fighting with other teams and losing, man, you look up and you might be sitting in the sixth spot.
Yeah, you think Dallas would fall all the way back to you?
Man, Dallas, I've never been a strong believer in that, but, you know, you go ahead and believe in Texas if you want to.
All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right now, we got breaking news because Stephon Diggs was just traded to the Houston Texans. Not for a pick this year. It's a second-round pick in 2025. Your reaction, Keyshawn?
I'm smiling because I knew he wouldn't be a Buffalo Bill for long, as I said a couple weeks ago.
You did say that.
That this was not far-fetched. I could see it coming. You could just see it coming. They needed to figure out, from a salary cap standpoint, how they can make it work. Now, this just made, in my opinion, it just put Texas in a different area code with the rest of the AFC. They right there now, right underneath that Kansas City Chiefs team. They right underneath that. They jump in front of Baltimore for me.
Do they?
Yes, they do. Think about it, man. They acquired Joe Mixon via trade. We already saw the rookie of the year in C.J. Stroud. He's only going to get better. He's not all of a sudden getting ready to turn into Scott Mitchell. That's not happening.
No.
Okay? Then you look at Tank Dell get back healthy.
He should.
Nico Collins has certainly gotten to the point where he understands the National Football League and what it's going to take to be good.
He was really good last year.
Okay? Yep. Dalton Schultz has figured it out. Took a stab at the Cowboys this offseason and got paid, got his money.
Yeah.
So you start looking at that.
Danielle Hunter.
You look at the defensive side of the ball. You just look at this young team, man. I'll put them right underneath the Kansas City Chiefs and above the Baltimore Ravens. And I know people go, what about the New York Jets? What about the New York Jets? I don't even know what them old dudes. Let's see what they turn out to be.
Yeah.
Buffalo, they rebuilding now. Okay, Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen until they got Stephon Diggs. He don't have Stephon Diggs no more. So now you got to go out there and find another Stephon Diggs to make Josh Allen comfortable.
Yep.
Okay, your defense is totally different, so that's a different situation.
They did sign Curtis Samuel, who's pretty good. But is he Stephon? No.
He ain't Stephon Diggs.
He's not. I agree.
Okay, period. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that, man, this team in Houston, I'm just checking out the division. They might run away with that division. Jacksonville got reservation on their quarterback situation. So he's coming into the season already looking over his shoulder.
Agreed.
Okay, we don't know what Indy is because Richardson's coming back off an injury, and that ain't really what that is. Tennessee has an entirely new roster.
They do. They've made some nice moves, but
it's a different, coach. And it feels different to me.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Legarius Sneed that they picked up. That was good.
Yeah, Sneed is good. Mm-hmm. That's one guy, right? But when I look at the way, and this is fascinating to me, the way Houston has bounced back since 3 years ago. Think about that.
2 years ago.
Years ago. I mean, it happened, all the craziness was 3 years.
It was.
That's why I was like, since 3 years ago. But in 2 years, they bounced back.
They have. and it all starts with the quarterback, and I'll throw in the head coach.
The head coach.
He's a stud.
The head coach. Because I can guarantee you, they're not making moves without talking to D'Amico Ryans about the moves that they're going to make.
Yeah.
He's not going to sit back there and allow them to set him up for failure. I like it. I love when organizations with young quarterbacks go and get playmakers to have them and make them succeed. Mm. It's the best thing ever. When you're a young quarterback and you got playmakers, just check Brock Purdy. Nothing away from him. He's going to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks next year. They're going to give him this money. But if he didn't have all that stuff around him, he'd just be a guy.
Yep. Agreed.
You know, young quarterbacks have got to have pieces around them to be able to succeed. I like it. I like everything that they've done.
C.J. Stroud was a flat-out revelation last year. I did not see that coming. And he didn't just have a little flash in the pan for two or three games. It was season long.
Yes.
He just got better and better and better. Again, Dak had a great rookie year. RG3 had a great rookie year. But this was legit, solid, will last. You can just see they got a keeper.
And what was very impressive and important, was his late fourth quarter comeback in situations.
Yeah.
And even when there was a mistake made, he just bounced back from it and kept it right rolling.
He did. He just knows how to play the position. He has a feel for it. He has poise under fire. He can read it and react to it with easy sort of patience. You know, he showed me patience kids don't have in this league. Usually they unravel under fire over time.
And that's why I don't understand when these so-called evaluators, when they're evaluating players, and they're looking at C.J. Stroud versus other quarterbacks, and they say, well, he doesn't process the information right, or he didn't show up to the Mannings camp, so therefore he blew off the Mannings.
Is that your white guy accent?
Nothing about white guys. Okay. I'm just saying that's how they talk.
I kind of liked it, though.
No, but that's what they do. He blew off the Mannings passing academy, so therefore we shouldn't draft him. This was the sort of stuff that was going on.
It always
during the draft.
Happens.
Like, what are you talking about? Because he didn't want to go to somebody's camp, that makes him a terrible player? Mm. That's ridiculous.
Well, he was ridiculous on the football field, is what he was. So now back to Stefan. Obviously, his brother, who plays for my Dallas Cowboys, is tweeting at Josh Allen different things about, you know,
families.
Right.
Remember families this? Love the tweeting,
You know, they do. And his point was that you were nothing before my brother walked in the door.
Well, that was my point a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that he wasn't nothing. He wasn't the same Josh Allen as he is today to Stephon Diggs walked into the door. It's a fact. It's well documented. It's on the film. There's no lies about it. Stephon Diggs was getting down in Minnesota before Josh Allen.
Was he? See the Minnesota miracle play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm not inside the Buffalo Bills, but you could just see it manifest on the football field last year. They were not on the same page. And it was heading nowhere slowly. And finally, Bills management said, enough of this. We can't live. They chose their quarterback over the receiver.
As they should.
They should.
As they should. They should. Because if they can replace Stephon Diggs, then they're good. They can keep it moving. But it's hard to find a Stephon Diggs. People think that talented wide receivers are just walking through the door at any moment in time.
Yeah.
It's just said, think about that.
Yeah.
They really think shipping off a talented receiver that somebody else is just going to walk through the door.
Well, again, they did sign Curtis Samuel, and that Shakir kid was pretty good at moments last year. He made some nice catches for him.
He ain't Stephon Diggs.
No, they're not Stephon Diggs. I give you that.
And does Stephon Diggs come with a little bit of a headache? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Manage it.
Yep.
Damn it, manage it.
Didn't.
Manage it.
And I'm sure Josh had some final say here where he said, I just can't live with it
anymore. And that may be the case. And it could come back to bite him in the rear end.
It very well might. I did love Dalton Kincaid going into that draft a year ago because I thought Dallas should jump all over him. I'm talking about the tight end out of Utah because I love the way he played against your USC Trojans. When it was in the regular season, because he was injured for the rematch.
Who was our DC?
unfortunately, my old DC, the Grinch who stole football.
Right? So you could have done that against us.
Maybe. So I did like the way Dalton Kincaid came on the last six, eight games of the year. And by the way, the Buffalo Bills did run my Dallas Cowboys, literally ran them off the field up in Buffalo fairly late in the year. It was 31-10. They did that with their running game. They didn't need Stephon Diggs that day. But to your final point, okay, so they got back a second rounder, but it's not even in this draft. It's down the road.
Yeah, we give up a second round pick for him in a heartbeat.
Oh.
Yeah. And think about it this way. That second-round pick came through Minnesota. That was Minnesota's second-round pick that they passed on. I don't know how they got it, but they passed it on. Now when you look at what they've established on the offensive side of the ball, the best thing for a young quarterback outside talented receivers is a running back, a running game.
And they got Joe Mixon. I just love him.
He can really be a guy that is a force to be reckoned with an offensive line that's really good.
His numbers fell off some last year, but remember, Joe Burrow was hurt.
Higgins hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, Cincinnati was a different team. Cincinnati
Agreed.
Was a different team. It was time for Joe Mixon to get some money. He's a little bit older for the position.
He is, but he's still got a couple of big
They made a decision. They made a more of a financial decision than a production decision, in my opinion, in Cincinnati, because they got to look and allocate money to other players via the draft, free agency, next year, Chase. They got to figure out what to do with T. Higgins, all of those sort of things. So the best thing to do was move on from Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon landed in a perfect spot with C.J. Stroud. Now when you're thinking about putting 8-9 men in the box, you got to think twice. Because now you got Collins, you got Tank Dell, you got Stephon Diggs that can play outside and inside.
And Dalton Schultz.
They got a real squad, man.
And Joe Mixon.
And they know how to coach.
Hey, Joe Mixon can really catch it, too.
And he can catch the ball in the backfield. Cowboys should have got him.
Don't get me started. Should have got Derrick Henry.
Oh,
so I will give you Texans win the South. I will not give you Texans are better than Baltimore. I can't go that far just yet.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
It's close, though.
Well, Baltimore lost a lot. Especially on the defensive side of the ball, and their two offensive linemen went to the Jets.
They did.
They lost a lot. Yeah. You complain about your team losing pieces on the offensive line, and I understand the history of Baltimore. They plug and play.
They just keep reloading and going.
But they did lose a lot.
Yeah.
They just lost a lot.
I'm just all about
Jadeveon
Lamar.
Clowney was big for them as a pass rusher, as a defensive end. He was big for them.
Yeah.
You know, they lose him. Who else did they lose? I think they lost Patrick Queen.
They did.
Who else? They lost several players. Mm-hmm. OBJ on the offensive side of the ball.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where he's going to land, but not there.
Not there.
Yeah.
So when you start to look at it.
Remember, Mark Andrews didn't come back until the last game. So.
But I put them ahead of them on paper. They still got to play the game.
Yeah.
But to me, their offensive roster is better than the offensive roster in Baltimore.
To your big point, the two-year, or if you want to go three, but let's just do two-year turnaround is unheard of, what they have done.
Two-year's fine.
It's just unheard of. You just don't do it in this league.
Usually, bad organizations, and I would put them in the category as a bad organization.
They were.
Just because of, even to the late Bob McNair when he was alive, it was a bad organization.
It was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's just call it what it is. There was a lot of stuff coming out of Houston, just in general. Then obviously they had the front office mess going on. Then they had the Deshaun mess going on, Bill O'Brien mess going on.
Yeah, I forgot about the Deshaun mess.
Yeah. And so you had all of that, but to be able to, they fired two head coaches consecutive back-to-back years.
They did.
In Cully along with Lovie Smith. So you start to think about that. That's crazy. To get to this point now where it's like all of a sudden they flip the switch and they're a different organization now.
Yeah.
Like they're making the smart moves opposed to the dumb stuff they were doing.
I remain a Bryce Young believer, but I cannot argue with C.J. Stroud. I cannot
argue. You can believe in Bryce Young all you want. I just should not, you know, that's not my liking.
I know, but there were reports that the Texans people inside favored Bryce Young, but those were
not the head coach.
So he says. But what else is he going to say?
I told you we were going to get you. I wanted you the entire time.
Okay.
He's telling the quarterback that.
Well, Good for him. They got it. They got it rolling now.